Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I am alone. I'm doing this week's podcast alone. It'll be a bit shorter. You know, Ernest Hemingway once said that the greatest thrill a man can have is to be shot at and missed. It's clear that Ernest Hemingway did not watch BYU versus UConn. Listen, it was a 10-10 game going into the fourth quarter, and then everything blew up, and UConn finally did what everyone thought UConn would do, and BYU pulled away. But if BYU was ever going to play a game where they tried their best to give it away, it was against UConn. Three turnovers, a couple missed field goals. The game was really played in a weird way, on UConn's terms, in my view. I think that we expected UConn to be tough. Both Tosh and I expected this to be a little bit of a squirrely game, and it got that way. But man, was it disappointing. Just because we were right, it's just disappointing. I thought that the Cougars should have been a lot cleaner, a lot better, and I will harp on it once again. Balance is so critical. You have to be able to run the football, and you have to be able to pass the football. The Cougars right now are really struggling with running the football, and they aren't particularly great at passing the football either. Tanner Mangum has a gun. He can throw. We have good receivers. What we do not have is an offensive line at all. The Cougars are 121st nationally in sacks allowed. They have let 17 sacks happen this year. They're giving up 3.4 sacks a game. All right, they're as good at blocking for their quarterback as Bowling Green, Wake Forest, Louisville, Charlotte, and the lowly Texas Longhorns. We are only slightly better at protecting our quarterback than Rice and SMU. Cougars have to do a better job of protecting their quarterback and giving him a little bit of time. I just think that the Cougars offensively have really stymied. And part of it is because of balance, because we're not able to run the football particularly effectively on first or second downs. We might break a couple big runs, which is what happened. Algie Brown ends up with a nice game. He ends up with several yards. He beats the 10 for Tosh question. Once again, it was fact. He got that one right. But ultimately, I think that you're going to see that the Cougars' offense is really going to struggle for a while. And we might blame Tanner Mangum, and you might blame the wideouts, and you might blame the running backs. And I've heard all of those, but I haven't heard a lot on the offensive line, which is sort of rare around the BYU fan culture. We like to get after our offensive linemen. I think that you're going to see that until the Cougars are able to run the football and keep Tanner Mangum's pass attempts down, they're going to continue to be in kind of struggle games. You can't rely on any quarterback to throw that much. and be able to get away with it. Mangum threw 53 times. And the Cougars were able to run for a lot of yards on 41 attempts. That's 174 yards on 41 attempts. Again, a couple big runs. Bernard had a 19-yard run. Algie had a 34-yard run. And I understand, turnovers were key here. A couple missed field goals were key. But I have to say that I do not see this offense as particularly potent. I think that the UConn defense was good, and I think they faced several very good defenses. But there was only one long sustained drive. One. The Cougars had an 85-yard drive in the first quarter that led to a touchdown. Everything else came in the fourth quarter when UConn surrendered bad field position. We got to go 21 yards because of an interception by Bronson Kafusi. They got to go 40 yards. And they were able to capitalize on those opportunities, and that's important. But man, I just think that short field, or if they get a big play, that's how they're going to score. If you're looking at, for this team to have 8 play drives that go for 80 yards or 70 yards plus, I just this team isn't going to do that. There aren't touchdowns in this team if their field position is really poor. There may be one or two, but that is not really how they're going to be successful going forward. The defense did everything that they were supposed to do. They really limited UConn. And so they were able to get by, and they were able to win because of the defense. The short fields were because of the defense, and this was truly 100% about the defense. And I think a lot of the offensive struggles obviously came from some mistakes, fumbles, interceptions, and then a failure to give Tanner Mangum some time. And I know he threw for over 300 yards. I get all this. I just think that you're going to continue to see them struggle to have sustained drives if we don't start blocking a little bit better. The good news is that if there's a team that the offense should be able to do something against, it should be East Carolina. I think East Carolina's probably got the worst defense of any of the teams that we've played up to this point in the season. Let me give you some information to back that assertion up. They're 58th nationally in pass defense. They're giving up 210 yards a game passing. That's not atrocious. What is atrocious, though, is their rush defense. They're giving up 192 rushing yards a game. East Carolina's defense is 88th nationally in total defense. It is a defense that the Cougars should be able to move the ball against. If they cannot move the ball against East Carolina, then it's time to worry. One of the things that I think may have been at play, and it was the thing that I had mentioned in my reasons to be pessimistic against UConn, was that it was a brutal 4-week schedule. They were tired. They'd been on the road, and then they had a short week and played against a surprisingly, physical defense with UConn. And so I think with a little extra time to rest and an opportunity to hear some general conference talks. I just think that one of the things that you'll see is that the Cougars, I think they're going to be really sharp this week. I think that it was a wake-up call that they had faced some doldrums. They had had, I believe they had scored 10 points in 7 quarters. They had a stretch where they had had it was really, really poor, right? If you extended it to 8 quarters, I believe it was 10 points in 8 quarters. So I think that going into that fourth quarter last week, they had just really had to shake the rust off, really were in a funk. and we're having trouble. I think that they're going to come out and they're going to look a lot better against, you know, like I said, probably the worst defense that they have faced at this point. I think Nebraska has a better defense. Boise, UCLA, Michigan. Let's hope East Carolina's defense isn't as good as Michigan's. And then, of course, UConn. I think the East Carolina, the Pirates, I think what you're going to see is that their defense is going to have holes in it, and there's going to be times when BYU is able to exploit those holes. But again, I want to see the Cougars not sling the ball around so much. I think you need to limit Tanner Mangum. Put him in positions to be successful. Really establish the run, and then that opens up the pass. I think that they've got to be more balanced with that, and I think they got to be a little closer. And if anything, they need to be more run-heavy than they need to be pass-heavy. Especially when it was as rainy as it was last Friday night. Now, the BYU defense, they should be just fine against East Carolina. East Carolina has a two-quarterback system. I have yet to really see that work. They have a pocket passer in Kemp. I think Kemp is a decent passer. He's not a bad passer. And, in fact, they actually are more proficient passing team, East Carolina, than BYU is. They are 30th nationally in passing. They should be able to pass the football a little bit against that BYU secondary, but the pass rush for BYU has been pretty good. It's getting better each week, and I do think that we can put a little pressure on whatever quarterback they have in their backfield. The other quarterback that you may see, the backup quarterback for the Pirates, is Summers. Okay, so you're going to see Kemp and you're going to see Summers. Kemp has kind of taken the team at the beginning of the games. He started, and then what happens is the guy that has finished the last two games has been this backup, Summers. Kemp has been a nice passer, 70% completions, 8 touchdowns, has thrown 5 interceptions. But it's Summers. He likes to rush. He's a dual threat quarterback. So if he has the football, if you see Summers in the game, he's only attempted 22 passes. He's rushed the football 31 times. But on his 22 passes, 3 of them have been for touchdowns and 4 touchdown runs in his 31 rushes. So I do think they have a couple of dangerous options back there at quarterback. Doesn't seem like Ruffin McNeil, the coach of ECU, really has a strong idea about who he wants to go with. I'll tell you who scares me more. It's Summers. Even though we know what he does a little bit more, mobile quarterbacks have been a little bit of a problem for Bronco Mendenhall in the past. Certain ones, right? It's not to say every mobile quarterback has just absolutely foiled Bronco Mendenhall, but boy, have there been times where that has happened. And so I think if a guy can rush the ball a little bit, that's the guy that would scare me more. But 70% completion isn't nothing to squawk at, and beyond that, Kemp has led them to 30th in the nation in passing. So ECU can throw the football. That BYU defense, it's going to be absolutely critical that they get some pressure on these quarterbacks, that get in the backfield, and that they limit first downs. Does that make sense? On first down itself, they have to be able to force incompletions. They have to be able to stop the dink and dunk, kind of the underneath routes. And they've got to be able to make it so that they're in third and longs. In those scenarios, you can pin your ears back and really come after the quarterback. And I got to be, I've said it before, but man, Bronson Kafusi, moving him to outside linebacker may have been one of the biggest mistakes that I've seen personnel-wise in a long, long, long time. It's an all-timer. That was a bad idea. And, you know, I'm not saying that he was unable to do it. I'm just saying, you look at what he's able to do from the offense or from the defensive line, and you compare it to what he was able to do as an outside linebacker last year, and it just, it's night and day. The guy is too big, too strong, and too talented at coming after the quarterback to be kind of relegated to being on the outside, maybe trying to cover receivers. Now, he did have an interception. I'm not saying he can't drop into coverage every now and then. He should. All I'm saying is that if you've got a guy as big and as strong as Bronson Kafusi, get him in there and let him take on some offensive tackles and some guards, and let's see who the bigger, stronger man is. And usually it's going to be Bronson. So taking him off the line wasn't the smartest thing. Not that that's news to anybody, but man, has that been more evident by watching Bronson Kafusi work this season? As far as running the football, ECU will struggle to run the football. They are not a good run team. They are 97th nationally. They really are struggling to gain yards on the ground. They have 149 yards a game is what they're getting. And I think that BYU defense can stop the run, and they can be tough against the run, at least make it kind of miserable to run against them. And again, teams are smart. They've wisened up. You don't try to run up the middle against BYU. You try to go to the outsides. And BYU has been challenged with that over and over for 3 or 4 weeks now. And they have been relatively effective at handling kind of the outside the tackle runs. So it'll be an interesting thing to see how ECU tries to handle themselves offensively. I think you're going to see them try to pass and pass a lot. And then if they're going to move the ball on the ground, it's going to be because they're going to put in their backup quarterback. So when Summers is in the game, I think you're going to see him running the football a majority of the time. And I think that if they get rushing yards, I think he'll probably be their leading rusher. All right, so who are the East Carolina Pirates, and which state are they in? one of the things that I wanted to just go over, they are 3-2 on the season. They opened up against Cupcake Towson 28-20. Then they went to the Swamp, played the Florida Gators, lost by a touchdown. They had a chance late in that one. They ended up fumbling, but they got to the red zone late in the fourth quarter. Very little time left on the clock. They fumbled and had a chance to go to the Swamp and take that thing into overtime. Unfortunately, the fumble was covered by Florida. So they lost that one. Then they went to Navy, lost 45-21. Looks like Navy is legit. It looks like they're really good. And so it'll be interesting to see where the midshipmen end up. If Bronco were to go, right, Kenny Niumatalolo, right, he's got to be the top candidate for the job. I don't know if you can get him away from Navy, right? But if for whatever reason you were looking for a new coach, I'm sorry, it's Navy's, it's Ken Niumatalolo. He's the guy. I know he runs a goofy system. I know he does. But man, oh man. I mean, he's done some great things over at Navy. I think he could do good things at BYU. That would be my guy, I think. That's realistic, okay? All right. Then they were at home against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is 2-3 on the year. They beat Virginia Tech 35-28. And then they went to SMU last week and played them to a 49-23 victory. So they're coming in here with a couple wins in a row, and they were very close against Florida. Meanwhile, the Cougars also 3-2. They've been in some close ones. They've come away with some miracles, as you're well acquainted, and have only really handled themselves once, actually, in one quarter of one game. And so it'll be interesting. That's who East Carolina is. And they are from Greenville, North Carolina. So there you go. Greenville, North Carolina. I knew you were waiting to find that one out. Once again, getting separation from your opponent is going to be very important. And this is something BYU has not done well. Since Tanner Mangum has become the quarterback, BYU has had 12 offensive possessions with a 7-point lead. Those 12 possessions have resulted in disaster, by and large. 6 punts, 2 interceptions, a turnover on downs, a missed field goal, and a made field goal. And then finally, in the fourth quarter, the short field, the Cougars were able to score a touchdown. Finally. So, on their 12th offensive possession with the touchdown lead in the season, the Cougars were finally able to score a touchdown and extend their lead to greater than 10. That's the only time it's happened this year. That will be critical. Critical. To putting away East Carolina. That being said, I don't know why I have spent the last 20-plus minutes talking about BYU versus East Carolina when what's really the main event from this weekend, and that is Broncos Fireside Talk. Broncos Fireside Talk this week was found in Nashville, Tennessee by Trevor. He found it on a mini disc player. And apparently this week's Fireside Talk is going to be given at Seven Peaks. I don't know. I guess people are going to be in the wave pool as part of the pirates are coming to town. They're getting their sea legs maybe in the wave pool. The title of Broncos Fireside Talk is The Perseverance of Patrick Peter Patterson, the Peg-Legged Pioneer. If you find Broncos Fireside Talk as they take on Cincinnati next week, please let us know what it's going to be. That was intense. Email CougarCast@gmail.com or tweet at us @CougarCast and we will send you a sticker. Congratulations to Trevor. He gets the CougarCast sticker in the mail. Hopefully he puts it on his car. He'll represent us down in Vanderbilt country. In 1990, Ty Detmer had a bye week. All right, the reason to hate the East Carolina Pirates is because their tailgates certainly have a lot of pirate theming, which of course we don't like that, but also we don't like schools that do pirate themed stuff at their tailgates. But beyond that, their barbecue is Carolina barbecue is horrible. It's covered in salt and vinegar. It's ridiculous, okay? Get out of here with that joke of barbecue. Salt and vinegar. Oh, that's so brilliant. Why don't I throw some salt and vinegar on something? Oh, salt and vinegar. Anyway, their barbecue stinks, and it makes me so angry. Gosh. And that's the reason to hate the East Carolina Pirates. All right, time for some game and score predictions. I think that the Cougars will have a better offensive performance against East Carolina. I think that they will show better for themselves as the game goes along. I think Trevor Sampson will make more kicks outside of the rain. I think that you're going to see the Cougars move the ball up the field a little bit better. I don't think they'll be gifted a couple short fields. But I do think they're just going to look sharper. That comes from having a little bit more rest, a full week of practice, and being able to really you know, get out of the way. We know they took Saturday and Sunday off last week. I think that this team will be ready to go. They're just going to look a little bit sharper. This is the second week in a row on the road for East Carolina. You know, things are bad for BYU when people start pointing at altitude as being a big factor in BYU's behalf. I don't like using altitude as the game, you know, difference, but maybe there are some environmental helps for the Cougars. But the main thing is that I think East Carolina is a very good team. They're not going to be intimidated by Lavelle Edwards Stadium. I think they're talented. They should be able to score some points on BYU, though I think the BYU defense will be more effective against their offense than the ECU defense will be against the BYU offense. And that's kind of backward thinking. But I you can see how that might be a little bit strange. But I just think that you're going to see the Cougars, they're going to be sharper this week. They'll play a lot cleaner game. They're not going to have three turnovers. I think, if anything, against UConn, this team learned that they're going to have to earn it against everybody. And that none of these games, they're not talented enough a team to just show up and win. You know, UConn let BYU have the game last week. They did things to kind of give to BYU. I think BYU would have won, you know, barely, and the reason it got out of hand was because of UConn. It was more about UConn. It was played on their terms. The point is that BYU will need to be really strong out of the gate. I think they will be. I think there was a wake-up call. There's a definitely letdown potential coming off the devastating Michigan game. And I just think they're going to look good. I think ECU is going to score some points too. I think that it won't be like a shootout, but it's going to be a game where you're going to see like East Carolina is going to score, let's say 24 points, and BYU will score 34. So let's say BYU 34, East Carolina 24. The Cougars will improve to 4-2, and they'll get ready for a tough matchup against the Cincinnati Bearcats. So that's it for this week's episode of CougarCast. I hope you enjoyed it. I apologize that it was just me. We will make sure that we have Tosh back next week. But if you want to get involved with the show, please do. We're welcome to all comments, questions, anything that you want to ask, any comments, opinions, disagreements, predictions, Broncos fireside talk, a reason to hate, any of those things, feel free to send them in. CougarCast@gmail.com. Tweet at us at CougarCast and take the time. Like it, Vanquish the Foe on Facebook. Share the posts on your own feed, the CougarCast posts, and let's really get this thing going. We are on the verge of being consistently a top 100 college sports podcast. So I appreciate everybody out there who's supporting. Tell a friend, review us on iTunes. Do us a favor. We've given you over 80 episodes at this point. We've never charged a buck for it. So just do a little favor and share with a friend. Tell somebody out there, you know? Send me an email. Whatever you want to do. Interact with the show. Do something to help us out here. So we appreciate that. Hope you enjoy the game. 5:30 kickoff. Saturday night. Okay, this is my last thing. This is really my last thing. So I've run into a bit of a conundrum. I think this happens to people all the time, but I'm one of those people who doesn't understand how people can schedule things in the fall and schedule them against the college football game. I had a friend from my mission who was getting married and wanted myself to be there for his wedding reception on the same day as BYU versus Utah. I've had people do that to me, and I ended up making the decision that I'd go to the football game. I did this with my friend Tucker. We did this because we decided that BYU football had been a better friend than this mission kid. And by the way, that was a good call, right? Because both he and I, both Tuck and I, we're certainly way more in touch with what's going on in the world of BYU football than we are in the life of this kid. So anyway, my in-laws, this is the tricky spot I'm in. My in-laws, my wife's grandpa is turning 80 on Saturday, and they're having an 80th birthday dinner, like a celebration. And it's at 5, plus it has like skits and things that I don't know what they've put together, like a talent show or something. I don't know. I haven't put anything for it. And yet, so now I'm stuck with being at this family thing. But I'm really tempted to just go buy a ticket and be like, sorry, guys. I'm glad you turned 80. I'll see you when you turn 81. Don't schedule your stuff against BYU football, especially because I know Grandpa, that's the other bit, he likes BYU football. He'll want to watch it, and so do all the in-laws. So anyway, I think it'll be interesting that you're going to have half the people trying to watch the game on their phone discreetly, and I don't know why people do this. So if you have any tips or tricks, ways to get around kind of the social situations, I mean, I feel bad because I feel like I have to be there, but, you know, I don't want to be there. And if it were me and it was my party, I wouldn't want people to feel obliged. And it could all be solved if they did it at noon instead of at 5, but whatever. All right, so thanks for listening to my personal problems. Hopefully we can get a win against East Carolina. I think it'll be an interesting game, and it could get tricky. Could be another really tight one. And hopefully it's not just excruciating. I thought watching UConn was just kind of a painful experience, and I was glad they won. It would have been worse if they lost, obviously. But, man, hopefully there'll be moments of elation and joy. And having a good time watching some BYU football. So with that, have a good week. Thanks for listening, and we'll have Tosh back next week.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!